If anyone hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. Oh, and the storms came and the floods came and the winds that blew, but that house didn't fall, for it was founded on the rock, on Christ.
Why do you run from me? I just don't understand. I'm reaching out for you. You won't take my hand.
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Hello and welcome. If you're tuning in for the first time, we're airing Pastor Bill's recent study in the New Testament epistle of Jude. The message today is titled, Two Examples to Remember. Now let's join Pastor.
The epistle of Jude. Now, as we start out this morning, let me kind of set this up for you. You know, when you think about this epistle, did you know that the Epistle of Jude is the least read in the New Testament? Yes. And matter of fact, most of you, the majority of you, maybe if you're not Calvary Chapel, but the majority, those listening live, the radio or whatnot, you know, you probably have never heard a sermon on Jude, especially on a Sunday morning, because it just doesn't kind of, it thrills you to read Jude on a Sunday morning, amen? It's a tough, direct word from the living God, though, amen? And so, you know, the reason that it's not usually shared is because, well, you know, it's all about apostasy. Matter of fact, it's given to apostasy the entire 25 verses, 600 and some odd words, whatever way you want to look at it. Now, an apostate, what is an apostate? An apostate is not a Christian. Do you know that? Okay, they've departed from the faith. They were never born again. Someone put it this way about apostasy. An apostate's not a true believer. He's a person who's professed to accept the truth, trust the Savior Jesus, but then he turns from the faith, which was once and for all delivered unto the saints. Now, you know, apostasy, whether you know it or not, is one of the signs of the last days. The Bible tells us in 1 Timothy 4:1, Paul tells Timothy, now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to the seducing spirits and doctrines or the teachings of demons, and they teach through false teachers. Now, this morning we're going to do something. We're going to look at three examples to remember in our text. Amen? Okay, three examples to remember. But when you start thinking about this apostasy and the falling away, remember when Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica, he said this about that. He said, let no one deceive you, let no one lead you astray, you by any means, for that day, a particular day, meaning the day of the Lord, for that day, meaning the day of the Lord, it will not come, it'll not happen until it says, the falling away comes first. The falling away, a global falling away. Now, it's the falling. Now, with all that being said, falling away from what? Well, the true Word of God, the living Word of God, the Christian doctrine. And it says when that happens, it says it will not happen until the falling away occurs. And then the man of sin, we know who that is, the Antichrist, he will be revealed. He will be manifested. The man of sin who loves sin. Sin is his nourishment. And he says the son of perdition, or the son who is doomed to eternal destruction. So with all of that being said, there is a falling away happening even now, isn't there? Yes, and you know, listen, when Paul was writing there to that scripture I just read to you, that falling away is not the true church that's falling away, because the true church is going to be raptured before the Antichrist is ever revealed. Amen? Okay, so he's talking about the professing church, the apostate church. They don't believe the Word of God. Listen, when the rapture occurs, the catching away of the church, when we are out of here, there are going to be churches all over the world. And they're going to be full of people because they were not Christians. They profess Christ, but they were never born again. That's a terrible thing, amen? And so we are living right now in the days of apostasy. Not the full apostasy, but we're living, no doubt, the stages of apostasy in our nation and the world. Are they everywhere? There's no doubt about it. The most valuable thing that you possess right now is truth. We have what no other person or people have that don't know Christ. We have the truth, meaning the Bible, and then God is so wonderful, He allows the Spirit of truth to come and live in us, and He then guides us into all truth. Amen? If we don't have the truth of God's Word, what do we have? If we don't believe the truth of God's Word, what do we have left? We only have the whatever man says is true. Oh, that's a horrible place to be, isn't it? No. Listen, did you know, and this is a sad thing, and I hope it's not true of this church. I don't believe that it is at all. But did you know that 82% of Christian Americans only read their Bibles on Sundays while they're in church? Isn't that a horrible thing? I mean, wow. I mean, do you think that those Christians can be contenders for the faith? No. So what we're going to do this morning, we're going to just do a quick review before we get into those three examples that we need to never, ever forget, okay? Look at verse 3 with me. He says, "Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation." Our salvation is not common at all. So what does he mean? He means that we are all of us, we're all saved the same way. Amen? Every person that gets saved is saved the same way. It's by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Amen? Okay, so he says, we share this common salvation. And he says, but I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you, that's urgent, exhorting you to do something. So he was writing about our common salvation, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit put a constraint upon him because of the urgency of the day that he was living in to write a different text to these churches in his time period that he was writing to, loved one. And he says this, I'm exhorting you to do something, that you contend earnestly for the faith that has been once and for all delivered unto the saints. That's us, amen? Okay, so when he said contend earnestly, that word is only found there in the Greek, in the New Testament here. It means agony. We get our word agony. To agonize, we are to go out and win and make sure we're contending and telling people the truth of God's word. Amen? Very, very important. But that doesn't mean, contending doesn't mean to be contentious, does it? We learned last time that we are to speak the truth in love. As a matter of fact, verse 21 says, keeping yourselves in the love of God. And that's the only way you can speak the truth of God. Amen? So we're not to beat up people with the word of God, the lost or the apostates or anyone that's really a phony. No, we're to love them because that's what Jesus does. Amen? And that's what a Christian does. And look at the reason we do that. We learned last time. For certain men have done something. It says they have crept in unnoticed. Now, that word crept, remember, only found here in the New Testament. It means to slip in secretly, completely unnoticed. It's like, in other words, the apostates, the false teachers, they don't come through the front door. They can slip in the back door. Then they slither up along the sheep to get to know and plot out and see how mature they are in the Word of God. They are false teachers. They don't know the Lord at all, loved one. And so they come in, and it says, they do so unnoticed, and it says, watch what he says now, who long ago were marked out or written beforehand, if you will, for this condemnation. So Jude is not telling his readers anything new, and he's not telling us anything new as well. So, you know, there are false teachers in the churches today. Did you know that? Okay? You know, they're ravenous wolves, Jesus said. They look like sheep, they act like sheep, they talk like sheep, but they're not sheep, okay? And they come in unnoticed, and you know what they are? Look at the next word. They are ungodly, okay? Ungodly men. They live as though God doesn't exist. Again, they talk godly, they act godly, they even act like they love Jesus, but they don't love Jesus at all. Jesus is not their Lord. And what do these apostates do then and today? Look at it. Here's what they teach. And as they teach, it says, who continually turn, okay? That's present tense. So they continually turn the unmerited favor of God, the grace of God, into what? lewdness. And the second thing they do is they deny or disown the only Lord God, our Lord Jesus Christ. So they come in and they're enemies of grace, and they try to pervert grace, what grace really is, or try to change it. Now, God's grace, you can't change God's grace. You can reject it, but you can't change it. Amen? And so they come in to do that. So they have a gospel and they have a doctrine. Their gospel is the gospel of their flesh. In other words, lewdness. Man, they come in, that means a behavior that completely lacks any moral restraint. It's talking about sexual restraint here. And they're bold. They flaunt their sin openly. It doesn't care who sees it. So that is their gospel. And their doctrine is antinomianism, which means this: there isn't no law. I'm under grace. I'm not under the moral law. I don't have to keep that at all because I'm under grace. I can sin any way I want to, and I'm okay. Is that true? Yeah. No, that's not true at all. Listen, God's grace never, ever promotes a light view of sin, does it? No, Linsky said this: the worst forms of wickedness consist in perversions of the truth. Paul told us about that. He says in Romans 6:1, Paul writes, "What shall we say then?" If we look at today and what I'm studying, we that are called and kept and preserved and loved by God, what shall we say then? He goes on, he says, "Shall we continue in sin or the lifestyle of ongoing habitual sin that grace may abound?" What's the answer to that? No. Can any believer, can we live any kind of lifestyle we want? No, we can't. Now, so he goes on, and you know the story there in Romans 6:2. He says, certainly not. He says, how can anyone, or how is it possible, shall we who died to sin, sin's not dead, sin's still alive, but we who died to sin live any longer in it? Now, it doesn't say for you and me to die to sin. It says, when we came to Christ, our position is now we reckon ourselves dead to sin because of Christ. Amen? That's our position. What did Paul the Apostle teach us in Galatians 2:20? He says, I have been, past tense, I have been crucified with Christ, and I died. Amen? Jesus took our place, and now we've been crucified to him. It's no longer I live, but Christ who lives in me, loved one. So that's what that is saying. Now, with all of that being looked at this morning, you know, God's grace, you know, doesn't give us the right to live a life of disgrace, does it? Okay. Now, look at verse 4 there again. It says they do something. They turn the grace of God into lewdness, and then they deny our Savior. So we know that these apostates, they're professors of Christ, but they are not possessors of Christ, for they denied the only one who can save you. They denied the only mediator between God and man, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ, like in John's gospel. But they deny the Lord. Remember what John told us over in 1 John, I think, 2:19. He says, they went out from us, for they were not for us. They were never born again. They were not saved. And he said in 1 John 2:22, he says, man, those who deny the Lord, they reject the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, listen, they have the spirit of Antichrist, don't they? They're not saved, loved ones. Now, this morning, let's get to our text. I kind of rushed through that because we learned a lot of that last Sunday. Now, Jude is going to give us 6 examples, okay? But I'm not covering all 6 this morning because time doesn't permit me. I'm only going to cover, or 6 examples of apostates from the past, okay? But I'm only going to cover 3, if you don't mind. But here's what is certain. These certain ungodly men are going to be judged by a certain God, not only then, but also today. Amen? They're under judgment. And here's what I want you to catch now as we look at these 3 examples that we are never to forget, okay? That in all 3 of these examples, they all end in death, not life. They all end in death. So let's look at our first example that we're to remember this morning, beginning in verse 5. He writes, and he says, but I want to remind you, don't forget now, remember, I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people, or physically rescued, okay, saved the people out of the land of Egypt. Afterward, look what the Lord did. Afterward, destroyed those who did not what? believe. Now, we know that story. That's Numbers 13 and 14. That's when the children of Israel were right near the promised land, 100 yards away from it, if you will, there at Kadesh Barnea. Now, Jude says, I really want to remind you guys of something, that God, you know what happened to Israel back then. God judged Israel, okay? And why? Because God judges sin, and he's making a point. And because of that, you know that God is going to judge these apostates that are trying to go into the churches and lead people astray, okay? Now, remember when God rescued the children of Israel out of Egypt, out of slavery, out of bondage. Remember how they came out of Egypt? They came out by the blood of the Lamb, amen? And then whenever they crossed over the Red Sea, did they cross over as in dry land? Amen. And then what else did the Lord do to the children of Israel? He led them the whole way, a cloud by day. Wouldn't you like a cloud by day every day if you work outside? A cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. So they were the only nation in history of the world that had the visible Shekinah glory, the visible presence of God above them. Think about that for a moment. So the Lord did everything for them. He protected them. He provided for them. He loved them, and he was doing something for them because he had promised Abraham and all the rest of them, Jacob and all of them, Isaac, he promised them that land flowing with milk and honey, didn't he? Now God is leading them to the promised land, the land of Canaan, the land that's overflowing, like I said, with milk and honey. So now they're right on the border again. They can see the Jordan. They cross the Jordan. There is the land of Canaan, and God promised to give it unto the children of Israel. Now, what did the children of Israel do, if you remember? They decided, God didn't decide, and God didn't tell them to do this. They decided, well, here's what we need to do. We need to send spies into the land, let them spy out the land for 40 days, and determine how we should go up into the land. Now, do you know what they did? They just said, we don't trust God to lead us into the land. God had led them all that way, and then all of a sudden, you're not good enough to lead us into the land that they never had been in before. You follow me? And so now, what did they do? Well, they said, listen, let's choose spies and send 12 spies into the land to spy out the land to see if it is a good land flowing with milk and honey, and as God has said, and so forth. And so what did they do? They sent spies there, and they spied it out for 40 long days. And boy, they looked at everything, and the 12 spies came back. Remember how they carried the cluster of grapes on the poles? Have you ever done that? Man, now those are big grapes, aren't they? I mean, where two men had to carry him, you know, and they brought that and the pomegranates and all the rest of them. And boy, they came back and the spies and they gave a report to all the people. Remember what they said? They said, oh, truly, oh, this land, it flows with milk and honey, just like God said. You think God can lie? Nevertheless, that's a bad word. Nevertheless, oh, listen, he said, the people, we saw the people, they're fierce, man, and their cities, they are so fortified. And he said, listen, and not only that, they are giants in the land, and we are grasshoppers in their sight. Everything that they said, is it true? It is true, isn't it? Now, out of those 12 spies, you remember the story, how many were good?
Two.
You saw my fingers, that's cheating. Two. Joshua and Caleb, amen? They gave a good report. Now, let me give you if you want to turn there, I'm going to be in Numbers chapter 14 and verse 6. So it says, but Joshua, the son of Nun, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he says, oh, who were among those who spied out the land, meaning the other 10, listen to what they did. They tore their clothes. Like I told the early service, they kind of had the same Calvary Chapel dress, right? Yeah. They tore their clothes, and they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, oh, the land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Listen to what they say now. Only do not rebel against the Lord. Don't fear the people of the land. And I love what Joshua said, for they are our bread. Don't you love that one? They're our bread, man. We're going to eat them alive. Their protection has departed from them. Why? For the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. So those 10, they saw the size of the giants and it killed them. 2 saw the size of their God. Amen? Yes, and that's what we need to do. And it says, oh, do not fear them. And listen to what happened. And all the congregation said, far out. Praise the Lord, man. Let's go in that. Oh, no. All the congregation said, stone them with stones. Now, why? Did they kill somebody? Did they steal? What did they do? They just told the truth. Now listen to me. The children of Israel, out of all the people, thousands upon thousands upon thousands, all the entire congregation, they all heard the word of God, but only 2 trusted the word of God. Do you see what I'm getting at? Oh, loved one, listen. They understood what God said, but they were unwilling to trust what God said. Why? Because in their heart, unbelief was stronger than the promises of the living God who can never, never lie. We call that, in Hebrews 3:19, we call that the sin of unbelief. Unbelief in, I don't believe the promises of God. I don't believe in the miracles of God. I don't believe in the ability of God. In verse 11 of Numbers 14, look what it said. And then the Lord said to Moses, oh, how long will these people reject me? How long will they not believe me with all the signs which I have performed among them? Would you say that unbelief is a serious thing with God? It's called the evil sin of unbelief, has an evil heart. The Bible says, whatsoever is not of faith, Romans 14:23, is sin. Loved one, faith is paramount. Amen? The just shall live by faith. We are the just. Amen? And so unbelief is a serious thing. The first generation that came out of the land of Egypt, okay, that refused to go into the promised land, loved one, they all died in the wilderness except for 2, Joshua and Caleb. The Lord destroyed those who did not believe. They departed from the faith. They departed from believing God. Now listen carefully. That word destroyed can be used in the Hebrew there 2 ways. It can mean loss of physical life, or it can mean the loss of eternal life. So we have to say, which one? How did God destroy the children of Israel, those that perished? How did that happen? What did he do? Did he forgive them, or did they really suffer eternally? Let me give you a scripture. If you're looking, it's in verse 20 of Numbers 14. God forgave their unfaithfulness, okay? Now, Moses, remember, went to the Lord and started interceding for the children of Israel and said, oh, Lord, you know, don't use your power to kill. Use your great power to forgive them, oh, Lord. And then it says, and then the Lord said to Moses, okay, I have pardoned, meaning the children of Israel that did that, I have pardoned according to your word, but truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, because all these men, they have seen my glory, meaning the Shekinah glory above them, and they've seen my signs which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and they have put me to the test these 10 times and have not heeded my voice. That's a scary thing, isn't it? It says that they certainly shall not see the land which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who rejected me see it. My servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him, has followed me. I will bring him into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwell in the valley. Now listen to what God says. Tomorrow, turn. They're 100 yards. They can see the Jordan. He says, now turn tomorrow. Move out. Go back into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. That's heartbreaking. In other words, turn away now from your inheritance. Turn away from the land that is flowing with milk and honey. You're going to walk away from your future and your destiny. That's what they did. And that's what the sin of unbelief does.
Well, we're out of time for this broadcast, but no worries. Pastor Bill will complete this message on tomorrow's program. And we look forward to seeing you once again. Hey, thank you for spending some of your day with us. Be blessed today, and we'll see you next time. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.